ISS Berlin, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation. A civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. It was a busy Wednesday for President-elect Trump, naming his choices for multiple high-ranking posts in his administration.
For Secretary of State, Trump tapping his one-time presidential primary opponent, Republican Senator Marco Rubio. Trump's pick for Attorney General, Republican Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz. Former Democratic Congresswoman turned Trump supporter Tulsi Gabbard has been chosen for Director of National Intelligence.
ABC's Dave Packer. A 7-week strike by union machinists now over. Boeing announced it's moving forward with layoffs, expected to slash 10% of its global workforce by mid-January, about 17,000 jobs. Greg Popovich, 75-year-old head coach of the NBA's San Antonio Spurs, hasn't been with the team early this season. The team announcing he suffered a mild stroke earlier this month. He is already in rehab and expected to make a full recovery. Popovich, coach of the Spurs for 29 years, is the NBA's all-time wins leader. In Brookhaven, New York, a volunteer firefighter is in a whole heap of trouble after a string of brush fires.
Long Island, New York is bone dry. No significant rain for over a month. Now a 20-year-old firefighter there is facing arson charges. Jonathan Quiles of Medford, New York, arrested after phoned-in tips about a brush fire. Brookhaven Town Supervisor Dan Panico says Quiles' alleged actions
imperiled his brother and sister firefighters
and could have caused significant damage
and also potential loss of life.
Quiles charged with arson and reckless endangerment. His arrest comes amid ongoing investigations into several brush fires in Brookhaven. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Let the office debate begin. People magazine has named actor and filmmaker John Krasinski its sexiest man alive for 2024. In an interview with the magazine, Krasinski cracked his hoping wife, actress Emily Blunt, makes good on a promise to plaster the cover as wallpaper for their home. I'm Richard Cantu, ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WISS News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. You can find it anytime at the WISS website at WISS.FM.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
If you haven't tried mindfulness techniques before, the idea is to take a minute, focus on the present, not the past, not the future. Be here now. You can do it in your car.
Please, not while you're driving.
I would say preferably not driving. Just take a moment and close your eyes. And just breathe. Focus like on the breath coming into your body and out.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Matt and Air on Air.
And we are here with Matt Randolph, Mr. Global. Donald Trump now will be coming in for a second term. There has been talk of removing sanctions from Russia. What would that mean, Matt, for the oil and gas industry?
So it depends on what Russia does, but we've seen nothing to suggest that they want to have anything to do with lowering oil prices.
And so the prices are essentially going to stay the same?
In all likelihood, yes.
Matt and Air on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Bucks come alive. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks battled sending their game into overtime with a 127-120 win over the Pistons in Milwaukee. For the 10th time in his career, Giannis scored 50 or more points with 59. The Bucks improved to 4-8. Doc Rivers.
You know, we don't like our record. We're starting to like it more and more with each win, right? But it tells you on the inside how close this team is and how much this team believes that we're going to be a good team.
Bucks center Brooke Lopez.
We didn't start the third the way we wanted, but you know, when we started picking it up, the crowd was into it. They picked us up again. You know, they brought us to another level, and they just continued to do that throughout the rest of the game.
NFL, the Packers face a Bears team that have lost 3 games in a row and fired their offensive coordinator. Do the Packer players still think this could be a dogfight in Chicago Sunday?
No, 100%. I mean, the rivalry is there in its own, but, I mean, it's another North opponent, so we're definitely locked in on that.
That's Packers wide receiver Christian Watson. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. There's not much left for Denzel Washington to achieve when it comes to his career. That is probably why he's mentioned retiring soon. The actor says he will star in the third Black Panther film. After that, he says he will do Othello and then King Lear and then hang it up. There is a lot of potential there to exit the business with a third Oscar for acting. Washington won Best Actor for Training Day and a Best Supporting Actor statue for Glory. Seems like he's really getting the hang of this acting thing. Fasten your seatbelts. There is a new Sexiest Man Alive for 2024, and his name is John Krasinski. Brzezinski. The always humble Jim from The Office and star of A Quiet Place says when he got the news, he thought he was being punked. His wife, Emily Blunt, said if he won, she would wallpaper the house with magazine covers. Sounds like they have a busy weekend. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Wamba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Rain continues into the overnight, some of it locally heavy, as temperatures drop to the upper 40s. Winds turning to the northeast and will be gusty. Temperatures won't budge a whole lot on Thursday, still staying in the upper 40s with rain early on. Right now, it's 48.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Jane says. Good morning. Welcome, welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call. You can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that used to be Twitter. We have a very, very busy show coming up for you today. 10:30, Angela Lang from BLOC, Black Leaders Organizing Communities, will be joining us to talk about, not a surprise, the results of last week's election. And then in the 11 o'clock hour, things are going to lighten up a little bit. Weather and Wine with Brittany Merlot at 11:20. 11:33, Dr. Laura Hanks will be back with public service announcement. We're going to talk about fluoride. This has come up because Robert Kennedy Jr. has said that he's going to be in the Trump administration overseeing health, and he wants to remove fluoride from water. So we're going to talk about that with Dr. Laura Hanks. If you ever have a question for the doctor, by the way, you can email that to us at Jane Says, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, Jane Says at civicmedia.us. And then as we do every day, we'll wrap up the show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today, the feral emu edition. Just kind of stumbled over that one this morning. Wasn't expecting that. But we're going to start off with, is that whining I hear coming from California?
We've been looking for him for days, Jane.
The great Houdini.
The Houdini has appeared out of clear blue nothing. What saith go with him?
Eric Abdi now says that the numbers are wrong.
Oh.
In Milwaukee. Of course, we're back to the ballot dumps. We talked about this for months.
Yeah.
That this happens every election, every election, because they cannot start counting the ballots until 7 o'clock on election day.
They could have started this year.
They could have.
But
it died in the Wisconsin Senate.
Yep.
They just let it die. Yeah. Galen?
Well, I thought Eric's buddy, Ron Johnson, went down there and made sure everything was all right, and he verified it.
He did.
It's true.
Yes.
Brian Schimming. I don't know if his exact words, but I think he said something effective, hunky dory, and then walked away whistling a tune because everything went fine in Milwaukee, in Racine, in Waukesha, all over the state. It was a free and fair election. Didn't go the way we wanted it to, but that does not mean it wasn't smooth sailing. And in fact, they brought, because of a previous problem earlier in the night, firefighters and other municipal employees showed up to help make sure the ballots were taken care of. So this was a fair and safe election, sir.
Sorry about that. But he's not happy. In a video posted to Twitter yesterday, Eric Abdi claims he was, quote, shocked by what unfolded on election night. He said at 1 o'clock in the morning, he was getting congratulatory calls and claimed that based on the models, it looked like he was going to defeat Tammy Baldwin. Milwaukee's results, he said, left him deeply concerned. He did an interview on a different station on the dial, saying, quote, "It's the most painful loss I've ever experienced," unquote. So he admits that he lost.
I was going to say, he's admitted that he lost, but he hasn't conceded.
No.
And he thinks there's shenanigans.
Apparently so. Again, even though, like Calvin pointed out, Ron Johnson was there at Central Count in Milwaukee and said, everything is fine, nothing to see here. California guy says, the fortunate thing about me is I've been blessed with a lot of energy and very thick skin, and I'm a very resilient person, adding that he'll continue to fight for our wonderful country and our state.
When I coughed there, I was going to go, money. You're blessed with a lot of money. And also, if you have such thick skin, why are you so thin-skinned with all the questions you're asked? Also, granted, I've never run for Senate, but I would think that there are a lot of things in the world that are harder losing than a Senate campaign, especially when you're worth hundreds of millions of dollars and it affects your life in no way if you lose. You get to go back to your homes.
Absolutely, and your millions of dollars.
And your oceanfront property and continue being the great Orange County businessman of the year that you always have been.
See, to me, this is coming off as a snit.
Yep.
I would call this as an official snit.
Oh, I'm going to change the name of the hour to that. The snits of one Eric Hovde.
Yeah, it's like, I'm very successful. I'm very, very wealthy. I'm used to getting what I want. Yeah. And I wanted to be a senator.
This is a temper tantrum.
Sure seems like
it's an adult temper tantrum. Wah, wah, I want my way. Also, anyone calling you during a presidential election at 1 a.m.
to congratulate
you, they don't know anything about elections. And your models are just that. They're models. Nothing can be guaranteed. I would say it to any candidate. Don't ever trust them until the final ballot's counted.
Absolutely.
So Eric Hovde doing this backpack, it's so unflattering of him. And it really is indicative of who he's been this entire time. He has been petty this entire time. He doesn't doesn't like answering questions that all other politicians have had to answer before.
Yep.
He thinks he's above reproach. And now we're seeing the real Eric Hovde, which is, wah, wah, crybaby. I'm a rich guy, and I usually get what I want. Not this time. Oh, the lady beat me.
I want this thing. And what I also find especially amusing is that in May, California guy Eric Hovde was on WISN's Up Front.
Yeah.
And he was asked about accepting the election results. Calvin, are you ready with that clip? From Eric Hovde's appearance on Upfront, this is from May. Let's take a listen.
Will you accept the results of your election in November?
Yes, I will.
Should the president do the same for his?
I think everybody should.
That was then. This is now.
Yep.
Apparently, it was fine in May when he assumed he was going to win. And now that he's lost, it's like, well, yeah, I guess I didn't really mean that.
How do we rework that saying you like to use that I love? What's good for thee? Good for thee, but not for me. But this is good for me in the past, but not for me now. Because he must have assumed that he was going to win.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Can you imagine wronging your life with that much confidence, thinking that you're like, oh, I'm going to be a sitting senator who is wildly popular and just, I just don't, I that that sort of brazen arrogance doesn't compute in my brain.
Milwaukee Elections Commission says Hovde's claims are baseless and that all aspects of the election were conducted with transparency and in strict adherence to established laws and procedures. It is both expected and routine. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
That absentee ballots, over 100,000 in this case, are counted and reported in the late hours of the election night because of Wisconsin's high voter turnout and the rigorous verification standards that we uphold. This happens every election. Mm-hmm. There's nothing nefarious about this.
Yeah.
It takes time to count hundreds of thousands of votes.
Yep.
Especially if you can only start the morning of the election at 7 a.m.
Which says one of two things with Eric Hovde. Either he knows this, which I think he does. He's not a stupid man. I would never call him stupid.
No, absolutely not. He's been very successful.
But he decides that no matter the case, he has that knowledge. It doesn't matter. He's still going to say it's rigged, it's stolen, or he's willfully ignorant, which I don't think he is. I think he knows that this is the fact. This is how the processes work in Milwaukee and bigger cities. He's just choosing to ignore them and making himself look really dumb to the people. And also, once again, throwing mud at people who spend their careers making sure that our right to vote is protected.
And our elections are secure.
Just take the L, drop a knee, touch some grass, swim in your pool, dude. Here's your Kringle. Go home.
Come back in another 10 years and try again. When you're still going to be really rich.
This time, grow a goatee.
Maybe that's the way to go. Yeah. 855-752-4842 if you would like to join the conversation. David from Mequon is on the line. Good morning, David. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning. I agree that we need to change the whole process of getting votes counted before, on election day. If you remember, Florida was a total disaster. They changed it. Florida immediately gets, and with the population, it's like three times the size of the state of Wisconsin. They get it done quickly.
Yep.
There's no reason why that this can be done earlier. It should be bipartisan, and it should be a no-brainer.
Well, we had that, David, and it went to the Wisconsin Senate, and they let it die.
Yeah. That's got to get changed. I'm totally on board with that because, like I said, we can do this earlier.
Yeah, definitely. I think one of the reasons why they let it die in the Senate was so they can continue to use this as a distraction.
Yeah,
don't you?
I think yes, and the same thing. I don't know if you've been following what's been going on in Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania has the same problem as Wisconsin, and the current incumbent there, Mr. Casey, is complaining the same thing that Eric Hovde is. The difference is that he's an incumbent, and I just think Arizona, Nevada, they should be all switching this to where we can know the numbers fairly quickly rather than dragging it out days or a week later and all this other jazz.
Absolutely. We absolutely agree with you, David. Thank you so much. Appreciate the call. Appreciate you listening.
And that right there, folks, is an example of, we've had our discussions with Dave from Mequon and we disagree on some things, but this is something people agree on. You want the process to be simpler, to be easier, especially for those who work in the business of it. They want to get the jobs done quicker. They don't want to be up until 4 o'clock the next day running ballots. They wanted to make sure it's done correctly. So, dear Wisconsin Senate, take it up.
Maybe this time around, with the margins smaller, we'll actually get something done. This time around.
One can hope.
One can always hope. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't go away.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have, you plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash bail makes poverty a crime. That's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Mike Siegel joins us now to make our popcorn pick of the week. Hey, Mike.
When I was a kid in the 70s, there was no Walmart. There was no right. Sears was everything, from our tools to all our back-to-school clothes, everything else.
Right? Pants, stereos, kitchen appliances. Do you have pantyhose? Yeah, they're right next to power tools on second floor. It's like you really could get everything there.
Everything.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Dom Salvia Show.
State Senator-elect Jody Habesh-Sinikin. What's the best way, do you think, it is to approach a difference in not just opinion, but in what we perceive as facts with those that may not be aware or don't agree with it?
First, having a conversation. Try to get an understanding of what is really bothering them and try to offer solutions at the state level or at the local level where there can be progress.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Oops, upside your head, say oops, upside your head. Say oops, upside your head, say oops, upside your head.
Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and the Board Lord coming to you from our studio at Radio Park here in Racine, Wisconsin. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that used to be Twitter. Just a reminder, too, we have an updated Civic Media app.
Ooh.
So if you haven't downloaded it yet, go to wherever you get your apps and download the absolutely free Civic Media app. It's really pretty great. You can listen to any show across the network, no matter where you are, if you're in Oshkosh or La Crosse, or Green Bay, or Amory. Or Hayward.
So Hayward.
Download the Civic Media app. It's absolutely free. You can call and text directly from the app as well. So check it out. And if you already have it, do they update automatically?
You would have to. I know with my, I got the beta version, so I had to go in and do it manually. But I think that if you just go into the app, it will update in the App Store. That wasn't much of an answer. Calvin resident young person, I think it will update when you press update. You have to manually press
update.
Correct?
It's going to depend on your app store and your settings. My phone, all my apps update automatically.
Okay.
So check your settings maybe?
Yeah, I would say just go to your app store and check if you have an update. If you don't have an update, hit most likely updated automatically.
There you go.
All right. Well, thank you very much, resident young person Calvin. Oopsie. Yeah, this isn't good. From ABC Action News, headline reads, more than 60 years after moving to the U.S., Florida man discovers he is not here legally. Jimmy Kloss lives in Clearwater, Florida. He moved to the U.S. in 1959. He was born in Canada. 66-year-old says after being here for more than half a century. Mr. Kloss has paid taxes. He got married. He's had kids. He's voted. And then he found out 4 years ago in 2020, he is not a U.S. citizen. I was just like blindsided, Mr. Kloss says. This all came to be after he applied for Social Security, into which he has paid his entire working life.
There it is.
You've got to be kidding me, he said. 1 month, they told me I should expect my first Social Security check on the second Wednesday of 2020. Instead, I get a letter stating that I have not proven to them that I'm here legally. His mother was Canadian. His father was American. He and his family moved to the U.S. when he was 2. And as he got older, he assumed he was a dual citizen.
Yeah.
He has documents along with other documents and pictures. He said, He has his first driver's license. It was paper.
Yes, Yep.
Glass says he was never questioned about his citizenship status, not when he got his Social Security card, his driver's license, or his voter registration card. I've been voting for 40 years. I guess I'm in a lot of trouble, he laughed. But by voting as a non-citizen, he broke federal law every time he voted.
Yeah.
He even served in the military, and it never came up.
Yeah.
After learning he was not actually a U.S. citizen, he applied for status, but he was denied. In a letter from 2022, they stated he did not have enough evidence to prove his father lived in the U.S. for 10 years before he was born, a requirement for a child seeking citizenship through a parent. He did contact Florida Senator Marco Rubio's office for help, hired an immigration attorney, even a genealogist, who found records linking his father to the U.S. in the years before he was born. Mm-hmm. But still, this has not been resolved. A spokesperson, an immigration attorney in Fort Myers, says Class's case is likely a reflection of a large, complicated, and changing U.S. immigration system that can't always accurately track who's here legally, illegally, or somewhere in between. For a lot of years, the DMV and different agencies didn't necessarily communicate with each other. Asked how he was able to get a Social Security card, she says, that's a good question. It's quite possible that back then, the requirements to have a Social Security card are not the same as it is today.
I imagine if you're 2 years old and your parents walk in and the dad says, I'm an American, they're probably just like, there you go, there's the kid's Social Security.
Here's your card.
This is all, to me, just such a pile of garbage for this man. He has done everything correctly. He has paid in for taxes, Social Security. He's worked. He's done exactly what was expected of him as an American. And the moment he asked for his money back that he's paid into, they're like,
oh, wait a second.
Oh, there's a problem.
Yeah, wait a sec.
They better give him a lump sum payment when this, because to me, there's absolutely no reason why he shouldn't be given citizenship, because this was not his fault. He was a baby. The government never caught it.
After all these years.
Multiple ways of doing it, like updating driver's license, Social Security card. I'm sure he has a passport to get into Canada now if he visits Canada. Like, there's so many guardrails that were just thrown off. None of them his fault. There's no reason why they shouldn't be like, you know what? This was a combined mess up here. We're going to do this. You're going to fill out a form. You're going to take a test. Raise your hand.
You're a citizen.
And you get your money. It's to me, the moment he asked for his money back, that's when there's the problem.
As he says, quote, I worked my 50 years and I paid into Social Security. They should be paying me. When asked what happens if his case does not get resolved, I'll probably move back to Canada. Yep. Bye-bye, America.
I personally feel like he could also sue the government, too. Be like, I'll take a lump sum payment. I'm going to Toronto.
Make sure your paperwork is up to date, I guess.
I mean, honestly, yes.
Just make sure.
Yes.
If you have any questions about your legal status, you better check on them now.
Yeah. I mean, that's scary. I mean, I know where I was born. I was born in Waukesha. But, like, still, like, you even think to yourself, like, wait a minute.
Can I prove that?
Can my mom prove that?
News is coming up next. And then when we return, Angela Lang will be here from Bloc Black Leaders Organizing Communities. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on air, coming to you across the vast, statewide, countrywide, potentially global, Civic Media Radio Network.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. It was a busy Wednesday for President-elect Trump, naming his choices for multiple high-ranking posts in his administration.
For Secretary of State, Trump tapping his one-time presidential primary opponent, Republican Senator Marco Rubio. Trump's pick for Attorney General, Republican Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz. Former Democratic Congresswoman turned Trump supporter Tulsi Gabbard has been chosen for Director of National Intelligence.
ABC's Dave Packer. A 7-week strike by union machinists now over. Boeing announced it's moving forward with layoffs, expected to slash 10% of its global workforce by mid-January, about 17,000 jobs. Greg Popovich, 75-year-old head coach of the NBA's San Antonio Spurs, hasn't been with the team early this season. The team announcing he suffered a mild stroke earlier this month. He is already in rehab and expected to make a full recovery. Popovich, coach of the Spurs for 29 years, is the NBA's all-time wins leader.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Bucks come alive. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks battled sending their game into overtime with a 127-120 win over the Pistons in Milwaukee. For the 10th time in his career, Giannis scored 50 or more points with 59. The Bucks improved to 4-8. Doc Rivers.
You know, we don't like our record. We're starting to like it more and more with each win, right? But it tells you on the inside how close this team is and how much this team believes that we're going to be a good team.
Bucks center Brook Lopez.
We didn't start the third the way we wanted, but you know, when we started picking it up, the crowd was into it. They picked us up again. You know, they brought us to another level, and they just continued to do that throughout the rest of the game.
NFL, the Packers face a Bears team that have lost 3 games in a row and fired their offensive coordinator. Do the Packer players still think this could be a dogfight in Chicago Sunday?
No, 100%. I mean, the rivalry is there in its own, but, I mean, it's another North opponent, so we're definitely locked in on that.
That's Packers wide receiver Christian Watson. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. When it comes to films opening wide this weekend, it's a bit quiet, sort of like the calm before the storm. All eyes are on next week's openers, which will showcase Barbenheimer 2.0 or Glicked, which is Wicked, and Gladiator 2. But there is one film opening wide this week, and it follows a new trend of badass Santa movies. Red One stars Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Chris Evans, J.K. Simmons, and the awesome Bonnie Hunt. Johnson plays the head of security at the North Pole and teams up with bounty hunter Evans to find Santa Claus, who has been kidnapped. It's usually an inside job. The first suspect would be Mrs. Claus. Red One is getting less than 40% on Rotten Tomatoes, but don't let that stop you. It looks like pure holiday fun, and at PG-13, it's fun for the whole family. The Bruce Willis film, The Fifth Element, is getting a re-release this weekend, but in a limited capacity. The film is from 1997 and also stars Ian Holm, Gary Oldman, and Chris Tucker. If you feel like staying home, new movies to stream include Megalopolis, Saturday Night, or Michael Keaton's Goodrich. Let's go to the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Rain continues into the overnight, some of it locally heavy, as temperatures drop to the upper 40s, winds turning to the northeast and will be gusty. Temperatures won't budge a whole lot on Thursday, still staying in the upper 40s with rain early on. Currently 46 degrees.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
It is absolutely disgusting for conservatives to suggest that because someone is poor or struggling, that they lack judgment. If anybody needs morality policing, it's rich folks, for crying out loud, not people who are struggling to put food on the table and keep a roof over their heads.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
good morning and welcome, welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, the Calvinator, coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park here in Racine. You can always join us. You can call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that used to be Twitter. Coming up after the 11 o'clock news, we're going to give you a heads up about a new scam, the latest scam. There's always a scam, so you can protect yourself. And especially, I'm always concerned about older folks, although we know that young people can get scammed too.
Oh, yeah, and some guys in their 40s too.
Greg says from personal experience. So that's coming up after 11 o'clock, if you can stick around for that. Right now, though, very happy to have our next guest join us. She is the executive of Black Leaders Organizing Communities. Angela Lang is here. Good morning, Angela. Thanks so much for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, we are still doing the postmortem on last week's election. I did see one thing, Angela. AP Votecast says 16% of Black voters supported Trump in 2024, up from 8% in 2020. In comparison, 83% of Black voters supported Kamala Harris, and that's down from 91% who supported President Biden. Is that kind of what you're hearing when you talk to folks?
I mean, you know, we've been knocking doors for quite some time, and we've heard it all. And it's no different from what we heard cycle to cycle. We've heard folks that are in our community that are Black Republicans. We know them well, and we know that they exist, just like any other community. We're not, you know, a monolith.
Right.
And so that that number doesn't surprise me. It's obviously, I think, higher than what we want it to be, given some of the policies and the harm done in our community. But also at the same time, you know, I think while people are dissecting the numbers, and I always tell people there are numbers people smarter than me. I look to them for the numbers. I'm smart in a lot of ways. Numbers are not. But also at the same time, you know, we can look at the breakdown specifically of white folks and how those numbers continue to grow as well too. And so for a first couple days after the election, I was getting all the calls about like, Angela, what happened with Black voters? And I'm like, can we also have a holistic approach about how,
yeah,
you know, there's more white women as well? And that always kind of seems to get buried in the narrative sometimes. So every time I'm asked that question, I'm like, yes,
and
let's have a full discussion too. So
absolutely.
I appreciate the question.
There was the blue bracelet thing came up.
Yes, I saw.
Let's talk about the blue bracelet thing.
I'll give some context. I follow Angela on all of the social medias, and Angela posted something like, keep your blue bracelets away from me, and then something effective, you going back to bed, which deserved.
It was at noon.
And I texted you something to the effect of, let me guess, blue bracelets are the attempt by guilty white people to tell people of color and other marginalized groups who are affected by Trump's policy, hey, it's okay. You're safe with me. I'm cool.
It wasn't me.
I'm one of the good ones.
Yeah, it wasn't me.
Yeah, I have strong feelings about this thing. I had a couple of folks, you know, talk about like, yes, I can relate. And then I saw some other statuses where they're like, if you don't like it, don't amplify it. And, you know, I didn't know what it was until I saw people complaining about it. You don't want to amplify it. And while I normally agree with not amplifying harmful things and narratives, I think it's important to kind of push back on something that I think could be well-intended, but also at the same time, kind of just not what specifically Black women want to hear right now. Saying, oh, we don't know them, you know, we're not claiming them as fellow white women. Somebody said in a video, and that's the problem, right? You all need to go claim these women and have these conversations, because then maybe we wouldn't be here. And so just to say, oh, I'm one of the good ones, it feels performative. It was very much the safety pin of 2016.
Yeah.
You know, and being a true ally, you shouldn't have to actually declare it in that way. And, you know, something I always kind of try to challenge allies too is, one, you don't need to yell it from the rooftops, because the white women in my life would literally never, and I don't need them to wear a bracelet to know that they're good people and that they voted for the collective and not just themselves. But also, like, who gets to decide? You get to just like go on Etsy and just be like, I'm going to be an ally today. You know, ally is not a term that you can really give yourself. You can claim to be and do everything that you can to work towards it, but it's like a journey. You don't get a gold star you don't kind of, you know, level up. It's something, and I say this not just with white women, but I'm an ally to other communities as well. And I need to show that by showing up and not doing something performative.
I think you make a really good point, Angela. It's kind of like you can't give yourself a nickname. You can't right. assign yourself a nickname, and you can't declare yourself an ally. It is about the actions that you take for these communities.
And generally a person who whatever the name is given, a person who is truly worth their salt, who's stepping up and, you know, giving them themselves and giving up, like, whether it's their privilege or their platform or their financial blessings to people for groups. If you say like you're such an ally, most likely I can be like, I'm doing what I can. Just like, I don't want that. Please don't give me the flower. Don't give me, I always look at it like, don't give me style points for doing the right thing. I don't need them. And the other thing too is, and I'm back to like, you know, talking about the bracelet. I feel like that's something, whether it is white people or those outside the affected group, it's like we never learn the lesson. And like, you know, like the safety pin, the black tile, the blue bracelet. That's hard to say. Blue bracelet.
Yep.
I mean, it's like if you think that that's going to get you something great.
Some points. It's going to score you points.
But you know what? Wear the bracelet, but then do the work. Knock on the doors.
Right. Right. And somebody else pointed out that I thought was very powerful is like, is there a bracelet for like black folks not getting killed by the police? Like, is there a bracelet for undocumented folks that are going to feel safe? Because like that, we can't take that off. We can't take off our identities. They can choose to take off this bracelet because, oh, now I'm making myself a target. Well, we've been targets for a while. And it's just, it's interesting. And it's, I've seen some of the comments on the TikToks, on the social media, where, you know, you see other folks that are saying, oh, don't worry about the haters, you know, keep doing you. And it's like, you're proving the point when the people tell you, we don't want this as a way for you to show up. And you're saying, oh, you're just being a hater. Who are you an ally to at this point? Because we're telling you, we don't want this.
Yeah. Seriously.
Yeah, that doesn't, well, it doesn't make sense, but it's true. It's completely true to form though. When you see people who are diverting attention by crying on their video saying, I'm so sorry for what happened. Well, you voted. We lost. Other than that, don't cry for the attention, because now you're taking attention from the people who need the attention in the first place.
Yes, you're centering yourself. And as an ally, that's like the number one rule is that you do not center yourself and someone else's struggle and hurt and pain.
Yeah, don't make it about you. Yeah. It's not about you. If you're just joining us, Angela Lang is our guest. She is the executive director of Block Black Leaders Organizing Communities. I have to think too, Angela, and I know you've probably knocked on a million doors by now, but it really was a lot about the economy and people feeling the pain of inflation.
Yeah. And I think this is, and I don't try to say this, you know, in a kind of offensive way, but I think it comes down to civic education too, right? It takes a while for the economy to bounce back. And, you know, policies that were maybe implemented under one administration, you won't feel into the next.
Yes.
Which is ironic because people are saying, I'm going to vote for the economy, when partly the reason that the economy is the way it is because of former President Trump. But and again, I say this because I think it's very intentional that we don't teach civics. We don't teach these types of things. And so people are trying to make sense of it all. And I find it interesting that I think some folks say it was the economy. But I'm going to be honest, I think that there were other things at play. And I think the economy in some ways was an easy scapegoat to not own up for their own racism and their own misogyny. It's like you threw away entire communities' rights, multiple communities' rights, because you think gas prices are going to be lower in January. Like, let's have that conversation. And I think it's just misguided. That's not to take away from the real hurt and the real pain of folks struggling. But I find it interesting that the party that is for raising the minimum wage, pro-worker, pro-union, couldn't find a message to actually speak to those folks that said, my issue is the economy.
That just seems like an age-old problem for the Democrats, Angela, is messaging and not messaging effectively.
Yeah, I've said this for a while, long before Biden stepped aside as the nominee, that there was a messaging problem. And, you know, when we were having conversations and people are like, well, don't you know what Biden Harris has done for your community? Well, a lot of people didn't know.
Right.
You can't just rattle off a laundry list, a CVS receipt, and think that it's going to you know, sink in. People aren't thinking in policy in that way until, you know, you drive through construction and then you see a giant sign that says this construction project brought to you by the Biden-Harris administration. Then you start to put the connections together. But I had alerted folks about this quite some time that there needs to be a real understanding, again, with civics as well, of who's to blame if things haven't moved, and then who actually is to take credit for when things actually pass. When people are frustrated at student loan debt, Biden wanted to cancel it, but we've seen it's been obstructed. And so I think it also comes down to how are we connecting people's real experiences, but then also directing that rage and that anger and that frustration to the appropriate people.
I think, you know, one thing I was definitely guilty of doing months ago was just kind of making a very, you know, zero sum game on the economy, which I would look at and be like, the stock market's doing great, jobs are increasing, all these
economic inflation is down.
Yeah, all these economic indicators, and you mentioned the bit, like, you know, you can see a building or a bridge being done because of the infrastructure deal or Inflation Reduction Act, and yeah, that's fine. But then people are like, yeah, that's good, but I have four kids to pay groceries for and school and all these things, and their version of the economy is different than what the actual economy is. Both, I think, are valid in their perceptions and how they affect people, but it's hard to have those conversations because at the end of the day, I can't tell someone, don't worry about your financial struggles. A building's going to do it.
Yeah.
You know, it's so hard to have it. But a candidate has to tell them, the electorate, look, times are hard. And I know it's hard to trust people, but you can trust us. We want to do this for you, and here's how we're going to do it. And I think while Kamala had some good points in her economic plan, some of them just didn't resonate. I think one of the things that I thought was like the big thing for me was the making price gouging illegal. I'm like, I don't know how you are going to be able to do that. I would love that because it happened.
That would be a great thing.
But it just felt like it didn't. We're hearing now, it just didn't resonate with people. And that's what really sucked, because I feel like if anyone, she wanted to help Americans more than the other guy.
Yeah. And I think some of it too, and I recorded a podcast episode with Dan Schaefer yesterday. We got into some of it is that that I think sometimes people just don't, I think we don't extrapolate what people mean by the economy. I think a lot of times, because we look at job report numbers or inflation or all these things, unemployment rates. And even if you look at a state like Wisconsin, and I used to attack Scott Walker on this, where he's like, oh, we've had record unemployment in the state of Wisconsin. For who?
Yeah.
Because a lot of Black folks don't feel themselves represented in that level of success. And so when we're celebrating, oh, things are getting better, and there's not an acknowledgement that it's not getting better for everyone, you start to feel that you're not even being talked about. And one thing that I kind of flagged as well, too, is that, and this is, I think, Democrats across the board. I've seen it in the gubernatorial race. I've seen it in the Harris campaign, is the idea of the middle class. And people are talking about, well, we're going to expand the middle class. We're going to lift up the middle class. I've heard from my folks as like a flag, and it was like a check on me several years ago. Not even everybody feels a part of the middle class. So when you're talking about, you know, we're going to develop the middle class, if you don't even feel reflected in it because you feel like you're lower class, and some people have said that, they're like, well, what are you going to do for the poor people? What are you going to do for the lower class folks? And it's interesting because towards the end, you saw a pivot towards opportunity economy, which I thought was better than kind of the middle class messaging. But at the same time, as Dan and I were saying, I wonder if that would have changed if she had a little bit longer of a runway to get that message out, because she was only on the campaign trail as the nominee for a little over 100 days. So I think part of it is the limited time that she was able to have, but also how you're able to kind of break down a nuanced kind of issue based on everyone's individual interactions with that issue.
We're going to continue our conversation with Angela Lang, the executive director of Block Black Leaders Organizing Communities. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Alba Show.
Managing editor of E-Bombs World, Mr. Peter Rapine.
Google this week released a new product, the new AI overview. If you Google search, can I use gasoline to cook spaghetti? Google says, no, you can't use it to cook spaghetti, but you can use gasoline to make spicy spaghetti dishes.
Not recommended. Do not do that.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
The Dom Salvia Show.
I had somebody recently in one of the classes I was teaching saying to me, I don't do politics, Mr. Santa. I don't spend all my time watching MSNBC and reading the opinion columns. I get that.
You might not do politics, but sooner or later, politics is going to do you. Yeah. You got to have some basic level of understanding of what government is about and how it functions and a little bit of the history of it.
You need to do enough.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, and the Calvinator coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park here in Racine. You can join us, you can call, you can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, or the platform that Putz de Leon continues to actively ruin. We are very excited to have our guest on. Angela Lang is the executive director of BLOC, which is Black Leaders Organizing Communities, obviously talking about the results of the election. And right before we went to break, Angela, we were talking about the middle class. And Greg, you had a question about that.
I feel like in the past at least 25 to 30 years now, the middle class, that term, the middle class, has become the A number one selling point for any politician, especially on a national scale. And I feel like it's gotten so lost in the sauce now. We don't even know what the middle class is. We don't know.
Who does it cover?
Yeah, as you said, Angela, who qualifies? You have to apply for middle class. But more so, every time I hear a politician, I don't care what party they're from, and for politicians I have voted for, when they say we have to lift up the middle class, I roll my eyes so hard. I mean, like, how? Who? Why? Because it's like when anytime a politician would be like, we need to protect Social Security. Great. Plan, please.
Yeah. Details? Any details? That'd be nice.
I just feel like the middle class has been dangled in front of Americans for so long that we really just have no clue. It's almost white noise at this point. You're like, oh yeah, middle class.
Yeah, and I think that's a good point, because like when I think about it, like who uses the term middle class? You hear both parties using it at mm-hmm. this point, right? And so everybody, like I think everyone's interpretation of who that fits in is very different depending on what side of the aisle you're on. But I think this speaks to a broader point, again, that Dan and I were noting on the podcast. I think Democrats have tried to find ways to appeal to voters to win back folks. That means also compromising where they stand on issues, compromising values. And a good point that we brought up is that, where do Democrats really stand on immigration these days? And like thinking of that issue in particular, saying, hey, we wanted to do this border bill, but Trump wouldn't let us. Like that's not really telling us anything. And when we see Democrats kind of move to the right in a way to try and cater to other voters. You're alienating others, and you're supposed to be this big tent. And so I think it's kind of a cautionary tale with these two examples that if you continue to compromise your values, you're not going to bring more people in, and you're just going to be Republican light, and people really will not know what you stand for as a party because you're not making that stark of a contrast anymore.
Well, you're just going to be seen as wishy-washy, right? You're just adjusting.
Also that.
Yeah, you're just adjusting things to get a vote.
Yeah.
Which is something that Democrats, liberals, the left have been always, it's been very difficult for them to define that point. Republicans be like, hey, do you like guns, born babies, and Jesus? And I'm not even being funny. This is what they say. That, and people go nuts, and that's it. People, they vote, they win. Democrats work so hard to try to please everyone in, as you said, Angela, the big tent.
Yeah.
When you need someone who's going to stand that podium and say, not all are you going to love me, but you're going to like me and respect me because I want to take you somewhere where we all progress together and we have to work at this. This is a compromise. This is slow, but it's going to be better than it is today. And let the people on the fringes be all upset because you're not, but it, you can't please everybody.
No, you simply can't. Tom from LA is on the line. Thank you for your patience, Tom. What did you want to say?
Yeah, Jane, we need to move to an FDR policies. And people need to know who FDR was, and if they don't, shame on them and shame on the country. We also need a media infrastructure like they have on the right. We have civic media finally, but we need to have Air America again. We need to have social media every single day, because you can't just win an election in the last 100 days or 120 days or show up 3 months before an election and put all this stuff into ads and everything like that, but you have no constant communication with people like they do on the right.
That's a really good point, Tom. I agree with you. And, you know, again, as a company, we've only been around for 2 years. Mm-hmm. We're fighting against 40 years of hard right programming on AM radio and certainly on cable. Mm-hmm. And so as we would love to clone Sage Weil. If we could only and make like 12 of him and send him out all over the country, that would be great.
Sage is back there going, what are they talking about right now?
We're a clone, you say. But it's you know, it takes someone like our owner to have the vision and being willing to make the investment. And that's rare.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think one thing that another takeaway of many takeaways from Tuesday, but a big takeaway is just like how well the propaganda machine really works. It is fascinating to me that some people think that Donald Trump was the anti-war candidate.
Everything, you know, that was, Angela, for me, that was so frustrating to hear when people were like, well, I just trust him on the economy. And I, every time you're like, why though? And I'm not saying that to be flippant or to be a jerk. I mean, explain to me your reasons point by point why the economy is your thing. You know, I just really feel, you know, I mean, I heard just out and out misogyny from men and women alike who are like, I just don't think a woman can do this job. I think he can stand up to Putin. I'm like, when has he ever stood up to Putin outside of him saying, I told him not to do that?
But that just proves how potent that messaging
is. Exactly. Exactly. You're right.
So if anybody else knows a multimillionaire somewhere who would like to get into a media, have them call us. We would love to talk to them. Angela Lang is the executive director of Block Black Leaders Organizing Communities. Thank you so much, Angela. Look forward to having you back on very soon. News is coming up next. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Stuart J. Waddles. I've been into like pistachios. Now they sell them shelled. That's probably my favorite movie snack for when I'm at home.
Are you getting paid by Big Nut? I don't know of anybody that has pistachios during a movie.
Listen, I would love to be paid by Big Nut. I could do cough drops during movies if people would pay
me. Yeah, let's redirect here because this could go bad.
Yeah, this guy, I think it already has.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Thank you for listening to WISS Berlin, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.